If you caught the allegory in today's gospel, you see a man ordered, bound, and tossed from a wedding party. Ordered, bound, and tossed by God. Because the man isn't appropriately dressed for an occasion. Seems a little like overkill. I remember the days when a woman's head had to be covered in church because 1 Corinthians 11. It's silly. But when someone didn't show up in their Sunday best hat, you might be old enough to remember how someone, mom or the nuns or a benevolent sexist usher, would give you a tissue and a bobby pin so that your head would be covered. Or men, you might remember loner jackets. You go into a fancy restaurant and there's a dress code, but you don't have a jacket. Never fear. They have a few jackets for valued customers and for anyone who might just be unaware of the code. Because why should you be denied dinner? And why should they be denied your money? Because you don't have a jacket. Things are more liberal and casual now, so perhaps the metaphor doesn't have quite the statement it might have otherwise made in the past. We'll try this then. God orders the man tossed from his party for not having a mask on. You might imagine the event is masked and socially distanced. But is tossing the guy out right? It's not like the guy's refusing to wear a mask. He just doesn't have one. Shouldn't the wedding feast have a small stash of disposable masks just for this purpose? Or be willing to simply give him one? Couldn't the guy have asked for one? I mean, he could have done that thing where you pull your shirt up over your face to substitute for a mask to ask for one. Or that thing where you tie a baby blanket around your head so you can run errands. Haven't we all done that? I'm not going to ask why God orders a man out. I want to know why there aren't tissues and bobby pins and loner jackets and disposable masks. I want to know why there aren't spare wedding garments on hand. And I want to know why no one speaks up. I'm not questioning God's justice today. It's his party. He can cry if he wants to. I mean, you might toss someone too if it happened to you. I'm not questioning God today. I question us. Knowing that it could just as easily be us tossed into outer darkness, that it is us in outer darkness. Why don't we take up for one another? Notice, the king gives an order, but we don't hear it carried out. The parable continues when you and I write the next chapter. The chapter in which wedding garments abound and we speak and act for those abandoned, bound, and in the dark. There's a clear allegory here. Jesus is the Son, the church is the bride, adorned for her husband. God the Father holds them a wedding feast. This is the reign of God, the banquet foretold, laid even in the presence of our enemies. And God invites God's people, but they don't respond to the invitation. So God sends his servants, the prophets, to call the people to the wedding feast, back to God. They ridicule the prophets and go on about their business. Or worse, they reject, abuse, and kill them. God gets mad and punishes the unworthy by razing their city. Jesus, or the author of Matthew, is likely referring here to the destruction of Jerusalem in 79. God then pivots and invites everyone, not just God's chosen people, but the Gentiles too. And the servants go into the streets and they bring everyone, good, bad, and indifferent, to the eschatological feast, and the wedding hall is filled. The parable ends there, or a chapter of it does. And then the second movement begins. God sees that some are unprepared for the reign of God. They're missing a certain something. Some interpretations say it's faith. Augustine said it was charity that they lacked. Perhaps it's something simply more generic. These people don't change. They literally don't change for the occasion. God orders one of them thrown out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not the beatific Hollywood crying you might be used to in film. This is what is known as ugly crying. The kind of crying you do when you've stopped caring what it looks like. When the hurt is greater than the propriety. When there's no saving face because it's your face that you've lost. It's the cry of great injustice, of deep injury, profound grief, total loss, absolute loneliness. And anyone who's cried like that knows why we call it hell. Because that's where the servants have been ordered to throw this man. Hell. And there our story ends for the moment. Where were you caught? Let your conscience speak. Were you caught by the first parable or the second? Are you turning down God's invitation, God's call in your life? Maybe God is calling you to live your faith in a new way, but you won't listen to the prophets. Or are you already at the banquet and you're a little too certain of yourself? We're all a little underdressed for this party. And that's where this third movement begins. Matthew calls it the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of heavens is like this. Matthew is perhaps the most Jewish of our gospels. And the author seems a little less comfortable with the locution, the kingdom of God. He doesn't want to say God's name. So he calls it the kingdom of the heavens. But it's the same thing. This is what God's plan, God's design, God's hopes, God's intention, God's dream looks like, Jesus is saying. This is what God's nature, God's reign is. It is a wedding feast. But is it a wedding feast of ultimate justice? Is this what justice looks like? Maybe that's the question Jesus' king is asking. I'm about to throw this man into the street. Is that justice? Is this right? Do any of you object? Far too many of us think that's okay. Sure, toss him out. He doesn't have faith. He wasn't wearing the right thing. He doesn't say the right things. He doesn't do the right things. It's your party, man. Go for it. I'll even help. We make the mistake of thinking that enlightenment or faithfulness is linear. That you can get to the invitation, you got the invitation sooner than others, so that puts you ahead. Or it's binary. You either have the wedding garment, you either have the faith, or you don't. And if you don't have the faith, then your city gets burned. If you're not charitable enough, it's weeping and gnashing of teeth for you. Except listen to what God's plan actually looks like. He will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. The Lord spoke the world into existence, and he speaks anew, and it is a word that death and tears are done. No more ugly crying. No more tears. No more disgrace. This is not God's justice, where people are thrown out for lack of faith. This is but the second movement in which we, as Paul's co-workers, write the next parable. let's be servants, you and I. Let's invite people to the feast. Let's share with others. If you're on Facebook right now, share it to the wall. It's easy. Evangelism is at the touch of a button these days. Be a servant, and let's be proper guests at this feast. You and I are guests at a party where none of us is sure of the dress code. So start switching clothes, people. Between timidity and recklessness, we can probably make a courageous person between the two of us. Between self-righteousness and hypocrisy, maybe between the two of us, we can find conviction. We've got visions of a future neither of us is ready for, and we all recall the past differently, but maybe we might get a pretty good present out of it. Someone is coming around, and he's looking to see if we've got wedding garments on. Start switching clothes. Properly attired or good enough, let's go out and find those stuck in the outer darkness. Let's seek out those parts of ourselves stuck in darkness. And where we find things that are bound or zip-tied or handcuffed, imprisoned, addicted, oppressed, abused, poor, and lonely, we free them. We find the weeping, those gnashing their teeth, the sorrowful, the grieving, the lost, and we invite them home. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. Hey, friend, aren't you that guy I threw out earlier? Yeah, it's strange, said the servants. You told us to go out and bring those in. We found a man bound and gagged and brought him in. He didn't have a wedding garment, so we gave him the loaner jacket in the closet. Did you now? Said the king. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, trade it with the person next to you. Between all of us, we might yet be the body of Christ. Jesus tells us that many are called, few are chosen. He seeks servants. And he too often finds only partygoers. Jesus built us a church. We can be more than churchgoers.